Eric came back with a new cologne, and when he walked in the house, it was amazing. It was like 50% unbathed man, 50% campfire, 100% man, though, right?
And 60% of the time, it works every time.
But it was so strong. The smell from the campfire was so strong. I kid you not, I thought we could gather around him and make s'mores. You know, I mean, it was just like, it reeked, but it was a good smell. So ladies, no, we're not doing that, okay? But we do have something coming up for women that we are really excited about. It's the first time we've done this. It's gonna be something that we like to do, eat and talk, right? And so we have got a Cross Point Women's Brunch coming up, and it's Saturday, March 18th from 9 to 11:30 a.m. here at Cross Point. We've got a great speaker, Molly Monroe. We'll have delicious food. And ladies, this is a time to get to know other women, right? It's hard to do that on Sunday mornings, you know, passing and going. So invite a friend if you want to introduce them to Cross Point. This is a great opportunity for that. And once again, you know how to do this, right? You sign up under the app or on the website under What's Happening. Very good. Thank you. PJ wasn't up here to have my back. So, all right, I know you just sat down, but stand up. We're going to do an unscientific experiment, okay? What I want you to do is, and you may have to roll up your sleeves, but put your arms down by your sides, okay? And then turn your palms so they're facing outward, all right? And you're going to take a look at your arm, okay? And if you have to roll up your sleeve, fine. You're going to notice that women, you have more of a crooked arm. You have a greater angle than the man standing next to you, if there's a man standing next to you. But if you look at a man's arm, it is relatively straight. Now, we both have angles, but ours is more pronounced, and I'm not making this up. You can have a seat. This is science, people. I mean, you can Google it. It's called the carrying angle. And I just think it's so neat that even the little minute things that God does when he creates us, because ladies, the carrying angle is what makes it easier for you to hold a baby, nurse a baby. It's what makes it a little more awkward for a man to hold a baby. And it's awkward when we see them holding the baby. It's like, give it back. You're not doing it right. Musicians, it affects the way you hold instruments, especially violins. And so it also, I have to mention this too. It also affects the way girls throw. I'm not saying girls can't throw, okay? I'm not dissing this, all right? Hear me out. I am saying I will claim this as science. Because when Eric and I were dating, we were in college, and there was one day we were out of the side of the dorm playing catch, which is just so random to me, and I don't even know why we were, but we're playing catch. And so Eric's there, and the ball is there. And then Eric's there, it's Julie's turn to throw, ball is there. Let's just say Eric got a workout, okay, running to get the ball. It just wouldn't go straight to him for some reason. All right, so I'm just saying that, you know what, I'm going to claim this, that, you know, the carrying angle is, that's really what it's all about. So Wolfpack series, talking about the men, I think Kurt's done such an amazing job of talking about what it means for a boy to grow into a man, and then for men to take that up a notch, right, and to rise above what culture says and live according to God's design. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at God's blueprint for women. And understanding the opposite sex, you guys, this is a lifelong journey. And so the more information we have about one another, the better, right? In today's young people, I just want to say you guys are growing up in the most gender-confused society we have yet to ever see. And so it's really important for you to understand God's design for man and God's design for woman, because culture would say it doesn't matter, right? I mean, just go ahead and switch it all. You know, but it does matter. You know, when God created you, he deliberately created you as a male or female for a reason and for a specific purpose. And gender confusion, you know, each generation tries to find something to fill the hole, right? And so I think gender confusion is just one of those things that if you're not happy, you're trying to fill that void. And if you struggle with that, let me just say, we are empathetic and compassionate towards that, right? But there's this confusion, and they're trying to fill the void with something that this world, nothing this world has to offer will ever fill that void, whether it's sex, money, good looks, corporate success. There's nothing this world has to offer that will ever completely satisfy your soul, because you weren't created for those things. And so this morning, we're going to have to go after God's heart and see what he has to say and how he designed women. And we're going to take a look at four traits of womanhood. And in order to do this, we're going to go into the garden, back to the Garden of Eden, where it all began, where God created two sexes, male and female. He made them different. He made them distinct. He made them with different strengths, right? He gave them a different way of thinking and a different way of processing things. And you know, ladies, what I'm talking about. We think differently. But it was all good. Scripture says that God looked over all he created and said it was very good. It was perfect. Adam and Eve were getting along in the garden. There was no bickering. There was no eye rolling, right? There was no, like, the elbow thing happening. Adam and Eve were functioning in perfect harmony, just as God had intended. So everything's peachy in the garden. We're not in the garden. And so something happened. Sin entered the world, right? And it took God's design, and it twisted it, and it marred it. Instead of men and women complementing one another, which is the way God intended, right? Sin has taken this, our differences, and kind of pitched them against one another to create this man versus woman culture. And then you have culture speaking into what a man should look like, what a woman should look like. And because anything goes nowadays, right, it's even more confusing. John Piper's great author. He's written over 50 books, pastor, preacher, teacher. He says, this depreciation of male and female personhood is a great loss. It is taking a tremendous toll on generations of young men and women who do not know what it means to be a man or a woman. And interesting, he wrote that probably about 6 or 7 years ago, which really was kind of just on the cusp of some of this gender confusion. So, number one, women are relational. Like, you're stating the obvious. But women have a capacity for forming deep relational bonds with those in her life, right? Whether it's her husband, her kids, the clerk at the Kroger checkout, right? I mean, we have the ability to form these relational bonds. Now, here's the thing. In the garden, Adam was alone for a bit. He had the animals, right? They kept him company, but he was alone. And so when Eve appears on the scene, it's like, poof, instant relationship, right? Women, you were designed for relationship. You were created for a relationship, right? It's like, just add woman, even today, and poof, you've got instant relationship. Now, I'm sure Adam was thrilled when Eve appeared on the scene because his life was missing something, right? He was happy. He was ecstatic. And Eve, here's the thing. Eve is instantly, right, fulfilling the purpose for what she was created. She is having this deep relational bond that all women have inside of us, and it's something that we yearn for. Now, it doesn't mean that men can't form deep relational bonds, right? Kurt talked about that. What it does mean is that this drive that women have for relationships and our capacity for relationships, it just looks different, and it's unique to what it means to be a woman. Now, we are created for man. We are created for relationship. Does that mean that every woman needs to go out and find herself a man like Possum Pearl? No. It's a man. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, this commercial. Not everybody, but that's okay. You don't need to go club a man over the head and drag him away, okay? Because Christ is the only one that can fill that hole. whether you're male or female, that stands true for all of us. Christ is the only one who could really satisfy those deep longing in our heart. And so one man is not going to satisfy that need that you have, ladies, right? So it gets filled by a variety of relationships. Kurt, I think it was Super Bowl Sunday, he had mentioned that, you know, men's friendships are different than women's friendships. And he made a comment about, I don't think I could even name my top 10 friends. And my mind immediately went back to grade school, and I'm like, women can. In fact, we got them on a list. It's called the best friend list. You've either written the list, been on the list, moved up the list, you've crossed off the list. You'll find out at recess. You're going to find out at the lunch table where you stand on this list. Men don't do that, right? Men are not writing best friend lists. But women, we find so much value and worth and identity in our relationships, right, that we tend to qualify them more than men. And here's the thing, because we have this huge relational drive, we have a potential for huge outages in this area. You know, wives, if you're looking to your husband, you know, you're like, I just don't feel close enough. If you're looking to your husband to fill that deep down, you know, yearning that you have for complete closeness, that will never happen. All right? And singles, if you're thinking, if I can just get myself a man, then I'll feel complete, right? Well, you might go through a series of relationships trying to find something that's never going to happen with unmet expectations. So we have to be intentional in this area, ladies. We have to be intentional about creating friendships and doing things. That's why we hope you come to the Cross Point Women event. But we need to make sure that we're continuing to grow friends, and we need to make sure that we're continuing to press in to the Lord, right? Because he is the only one that can fill that. I've talked to, so interesting, I've talked to a 14-year-old. Just this week, I talked to a 25-year-old, and I've talked to women my age that are 40-plus. And it's fascinating because all across the board, we have something in common. All of us feel like we have no friends. Or you feel like you don't have that, you know, that really good friend. And I just find that fascinating. And it's because there's just a longing inside of us, right, to constantly have intimacy in relationships. Number two, women have a receptive, responsive spirit / submission. Okay, in the garden, when God presents Eve to Adam, right, he is like, yes, something without fur, right? He says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And then a little bit later in Genesis chapter 3, Adam names Eve. Seems a little odd, right? But there's a purpose for that. When Adam was alone in the garden, God had bestowed upon Adam the authority and the leadership of all that he had created. And one of the things that he told Adam to do was he charged him with naming all of the animals. And it was just an exercise in leadership and authority. And so when Eve comes along, it would only be natural that she would slide under his authority and leadership. Now, imagine that playing out today. Right? I'm not quite sure. What? You're not naming me. I have a couple ideas of my own. I got some great names. You're not naming me. I might even do that hyphenated thing. Right? But Eve didn't respond that way. I mean, she responded with joy and deference to Adam. And here's why. And this is important. Because it was a response of a sinless bride to the leadership of a sinless groom. Adam and Eve were acting according to their God-given bents. They were getting along because they were relating to one another in the way that God had created them to be. A woman is a relator. A woman is a responder. And we don't, I mean, if we're honest, ladies, we got a little rebellion here happening, right? Because we just don't typically bend to the leadership today of the men in our life. And it's because we're no longer sinless. They're no longer sinless. Men have hurt us. They've left us. right? Betrayed us, maybe physically or sexually abused us. So why on earth, right, would we respond to them with a receptive spirit? I get that. And I can see why the world would look at that and go, you guys are all nuts, right? But that is because we are sinful. But we're looking at the original blueprint. We're going back to the garden. The original blueprint is that men initiate and women respond. Now, ladies and young people and those who are single, the girls, hear me on this. Please let the men do the pursuing. Thanks, Mom. Like, thanks a lot, Mom. Now you've totally derailed me. So you might think this is old-fashioned, you know, like Julie, get with the times, this is the culture, you know, I mean, we don't do that nowadays, but there's a reason that men are the pursuers, right, and that women are the responders. And the women are so, the young girls are so aggressive on this dating and sexual front, it's, to me, it's just downright scary. And here's the thing, it's because culture has sold them a lie. Culture has said to young women, if you don't want to be taken advantage of, if you don't want to be hurt by a man, then you take control. You be the one in charge. You're going to decide who you give yourself away to. You're going to decide who you get to sleep with because there's power in that. You're going to use your sexuality as a tool. But if you've been around Crosspoint for any length of time, you know that we talk about sex a lot. And so, gosh, there was no response to that. I've built that in here, you guys, for you to respond. You've seen Kurt do the analogy, right? Here's the thing. Sexual intercourse is designed for the marriage bed, for a husband and a wife to become one flesh. And when you mess with that, there are outages and there's heartbreak because there's an adhesion that takes place. So, ladies, you were not created for that. And real men don't want to be pursued. Now, predators and boys, they don't mind. They like the more aggressive girls because you're making their job a whole lot easier. Ladies, young girls, you are worth it. If a man does not want to pursue and woo you, then you keep walking and you don't look back.
This is a PSA, a public service announcement to the brothers. Ladies, you can stick around and listen to if you want. Christian women for the longest time have been told to wait for a man to pursue you. Don't chase after him. Wait. And this is cool. But we keep telling the Christian women to wait and not telling the Christian men to pursue. If you plan to lead in marriage, lead in the pursuit. Now, when I say pursue, I don't mean stalk, okay? Please do not show up to her door at 1 a.m. talking about some, behold, I stand at the door and knock. No, no, that's not romantic. That's creepy. Learn to take social cues.
Excuse me, can I talk to you for a second?
What?
Can I get to know you?
No.
Can I go on a date with you?
No.
Can I have your number?
What?
What about your email?
No.
Twitter?
No.
Girl, your head is ridiculous.
If she's told you no like 7 times, please do not use this video as encouragement to keep going after her.
Well, it's me again, but the guy at Chase God TV told me that I should.
No. No. Stop it. What I do mean is that if there is somebody that you're interested in, pray about it. Place yourself in positions to get to know her, even if it's just in group settings. Ask about her. Seek wisdom from friends and older Christians to see if this will be a wise decision to go after her. You can be blinded to things that others can see, and be patient. Sometimes us guys get so ahead of ourselves that we become so friendly so fast that we haven't even decided whether or not this will be a wise decision to pursue her.
All right, so even though we are no longer in the garden, we can work to operate this way. We can ask God to help us operate this way. And I say work because culture has brainwashed us, ladies, to believe that we don't need a man, that we can do anything a man can do, right? That men are stupid and dumb, and that we're better and smarter. And movies and sitcoms have done a great job of emasculating men over the last several decades, and making them look like, as my mother-in-law would say, this is a great term, we love this term in our house, you can feel free to use it in your house, you know, make men look like slack-jawed boobs, You know, like women are smarter and better. And that is cultural brainwashing. If you're married, this responsive, receptive heart finds its expression in submission. And I know you've been waiting for that bomb to drop. And why don't we like that word, ladies? It's because culture tells us that, well, submission is for weak, you know, spineless, stupid women. You know, I mean, it tells us that we don't need a man. But here's the thing. When men don't understand their God-given role and responsibilities, right, the last thing we want to do is be submissive to a jerk. There's a process. Men, submission doesn't mean that your wife should do everything that you say. You actually have the taller order because God calls you to love your wife as Christ loved the church, and he laid down his life for the church. Jesus actually rebuked his disciples for viewing authority as a way to gain one's interests or as a way to dominate other people. In Mark chapter 10, he says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Authority is for leading others, not yourself or your interests. And ladies, submission does not mean if you are in a situation where you are being physically, mentally, or sexually abused, and you're of the belief that a good Christian woman would just take it because that's what submission means, that's not submission. That's not the design that's happening here. Eve was responding to a sinless groom, and we're no longer sinless, right? Women are sinners, men are sinners. So we have this ideal operating system that should work. However, the participants involved are not ideal. So we need to constantly be working towards this. The authors of a book entitled True Womanhood 101 sum it up really beautifully. It says, "Sin twisted the positive desire of woman to respond amiably to man into a negative desire to resist and rebel against him. And sin twisted the positive drive of man to use his strength to lead, protect, and provide for women into a negative tendency to abuse her or to abdicate his responsibility toward her." But the blueprint is still something that we need to strive for, right? The blueprint is still something we can continue to ask God to help us and attain, because the closer we do get to operating and functioning the way that God created us to, something beautiful does begin to happen in your life and in your relationships. Okay, number three, women are nurturers and life givers. Okay, the obvious, we can have babies. We can literally facilitate and grow another human being inside of us. And I know it's a miracle, but it still reminds me of Alien. I'm just saying, okay? I mean, it's beautiful, but that's not the end-all be-all, okay, with regard to this trait. Because some women may never have children, whether it's by choice or circumstance. So this trait that God has built into us, this nurturing and life-giving, it really doesn't have anything to do with having babies. The Lord created Adam when he was out, or the Lord created Adam when in the field. And so there's a connection between what would become later his sphere of responsibility. Kurt had talked about it, and really throughout this whole series, work. He would work the field. Now, woman was not created out in the field. The woman was created within the confines of the Garden of Eden, the home, the place where God had placed her husband. And I just think it's an interesting detail because Scripture does indicate that managing a household is distinctly a woman's sphere of responsibility. Proverbs 3:27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, before you freak out, okay, ladies, before you, like, rush the stage, I just want to say something. A woman has a distinct responsibility to manage the home It's not an exclusive responsibility to do everything in it. I'm going to say that again because some of you guys are not taking notes. A woman has a distinct responsibility to manage the home, not an exclusive responsibility to do everything in it, right? Just how God wired man to have a connection with work in a way that women don't, God has wired women to have a connection to the home and relationships in a way that man doesn't have. This bent has nothing to do with whether you work outside the home or not. It's about this sphere of responsibility that God has given to women, right? And creating a home is really about people, right? Whether you're single or you're married, you're creating a home for just you and your husband or your family or extended family. When we create a home, we're creating a place that's nurturing, that's life-giving, right? That's going to foster physical and spiritual and emotional well-being. When you create a home, you're creating a safe haven for your friends and family, that they can come and they know that they'll be loved and saved. Now, Eric and I, when we had Evan, we have two kids, Evan and Olivia, and, you know, when I had a boy and a girl, my mind went to, oh, great, you know, because all you ever see portrayed is they fight, they never get along, it's going to be horrible. You know, I didn't know what to expect. But very early on, when our kids were capable of, you know, not being nice to one another, we very quickly were like, that is not going to happen here, because let me tell you, it's going to happen out there. You're going to be hurt out there. This is a fierce world out there. You need to know that when you are home, that you are safe, that nobody's going to make fun of you, that you're going to be encouraged and loved here. So we shut that down pretty quick in our house. The sad thing is that culture would say, you know what, it's really not a big deal what happens in the home. Doesn't matter if mom's there or dad's there, right? I mean, culture would say, what you're doing is in vain. It's not going to make a difference. Culture would say, you know what? It's just a list of chores. It's second-rate work. Women should be off doing something more important. But ladies, those are all lies. That's all culture. Because you are never more like Jesus than when you give of yourself. And this particular trait embodies that. And it's going to look different for every woman. Okay, this is not like this is what it means to be a godly woman. Because we have women in here from across the spectrum. We got young women that aren't married, right? We might have some newlyweds in here. We've got entrepreneurs in here. We've got women that own businesses. We have women that work, women that don't work. So it's going to look different in your stage of life. And I've been through all of them. I mean, when I was single, I had a career. When Eric and I first got married, we were both in radio. And so we did a husband and wife morning show for a while. Then when I got pregnant, we made the decision that I would stay home. And now I'm back working full-time, more out of necessity than choice. But it's all good. So I've been all over the spectrum. My point is that no matter where you are, Satan's going to mess with you, okay? Because the stay-at-home mom, he's going to say to you, what you do doesn't matter. Right? When you're slaving away and just doing all these things to nurture your family and grow your family, he's going to say it's not important or necessary. But you know what's so funny? He twists that, and then he does that same thing to the working full-time woman. You should be home. Your kids are going to be a mess now. Family's going to fall apart. It's all because of you. So he will mess with you from every angle. Because here's the thing. This trait, you're being the hands and feet of Jesus, and he does not like that. And so when he starts to mess with you, I want you to remember that nurturing, comforting, all of this, creating a home, this trait that we have, right, it reflects the very nature of God. And so it's hard for women because sometimes I think, once again, because of all the cultural lies, we know that, and yet sometimes we begrudge it a little bit. 4, women are wise helpers. Okay, hold on, water. All right, so let me guess. We like wise. We're not so hip on the helper part. But from the beginning, women have had a connection with wisdom. When Eve was in the garden, she was seeking wisdom. So there was something inside of her that had a drive for more knowledge and more wisdom. And the enemy knew that, and he tempted her, and he said, God's holding out on you. If you do this thing that he says not to do, you will have all knowledge. You will be like God. And so she took the shortcut. Adam made his own choices, right? Adam followed. But there's a reason that women have a unique connection to knowledge and wisdom. And there's a purpose. It's because it serves us well in the role of a helper. God created woman as a helper to help man glorify God in a way that he could not do if she did not exist. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." God didn't create woman so that she could come alongside him and assist him in achieving all of his goals and his dreams. God created man and woman to glorify and reflect his image and his likeness. And so man's calling is to glorify God in all that he says and does, as is a woman's role. And so he created woman so that men and women together would bring more glory and a greater glory and reflect God's character in a way that if the man was alone, it would not happen. And ladies, here's the thing. This role of helper to me, this is a position of strength and influence. In Proverbs, wisdom is always referred to in a female characteristic of she. And I'm like, is that a coincidence? I don't think so. And ladies, Holy Spirit, member of the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the helper. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. In fact, Jesus told his disciples in John that it was going to be good that he goes away. Because he said, until I go away, the Father won't send the helper. But when I leave, God will send the helper. So I'm like, you know what? If it's good enough for the Godhead, I think it's good enough for me. You know, I could be a helper. We should cherish that role. Because here's the thing. The helper is absolutely necessary and utterly indispensable. He didn't create women as a second thought. He didn't create women with a secondary role, right? Our functionality is different, but our equality is not different. Because we are both made by the hand of God. We are both made in his image and in his likeness. I wonder if God left Adam alone in the garden for just a little bit so that he would realize he needed woman. Because men, think about it. You know, I mean, there's lots of men who just dismiss the women in their lives, right? You dismiss what your wife has to say or her input. You know, you don't listen to your mom's advice. You ignore your sister's insight that she might have. And men, the women that are in your life, they're a gift to you from God. I'm not saying that we always have the right answer. You know, I mean, so please don't misconstrue that. I'm not saying like we are wiser or that we will always have the right answer. But I am saying, even the idea of women's intuition, I am saying that God has gifted women with this bent towards knowledge and wisdom because we are to help you. So male bosses, listen to the women on your staff. Sons, listen to your mothers a little bit more. And husbands, listen to your wives a little bit more. Hear her out, so that way you guys can operate as a team together. Now, we had 1 week to do this. So I feel like, I literally feel like I just went bleh all over you guys. So we've got a lot to digest, ladies. So what I want to do is, if you take out your connection card now, I want to walk us through this because we're going to have outages in one of these areas, okay? I mean, if we're honest, I mean, I feel like I have outages in every one of these areas. And I could tell you about them, but I don't have the time. But I know that if we're honest, there's areas that we're flawed and we're sinful, right? And so we need God to help us kind of get back to the original design and the original blueprint. because sin has twisted everything and it's made it harder to attain and even maintain God's design for men and for women. So ladies, maybe it's the relational piece. You know, sin messes up relationships. And because we have this continual drive for intimacy, there's a potential for us to feel like we never truly have that connection. And we think it might be because our husband, something's wrong in our marriage, you know, or we don't have a lot of friends, something's wrong with me. When it's that internal relational capacity that we have that only God could fill. So maybe we need to shift our focus a little bit. You know, maybe it's the receptive, responsive heart, this idea of submission. Because without understanding the way God designed this to work, right? Because women don't want to be submissive to a jerk. And when man functions like he should, then woman begins, when you honor the women in your life, it's a whole lot easier for women to then function like they should. What about nurturer or life giver? This is like the guilt one to me. I feel like this gift that we have from God, you know, the enemy is constantly telling us it's not going to make a difference, whether it's at home or in your workplace. Wise helper. Maybe you're hung up on the whole helper role. I know I do it sometimes. I mean, I'll be honest. You know, it's like, what? The helper, what? But we have to go back to the original blueprint where we're sinless. Okay, we're not sinless. So now what do? Now we got to invite God in so that he can help us get back to how we function best. You know, God created the sexes to live in oneness and harmony. Sin damaged woman's inherent softness. Sin damaged men's leadership and power over women. Here's the good news, though, right? We always have to end with good news. Who is the good news? Jesus Christ. He always redeems. He always restores. He will always meet us. So he sees our heart. Men, he's going to see your attempts to start leading your family. Women, he's going to see your attempts to start being a little more submissive to his leadership. And then something beautiful begins to happen and grow from that. Ephesians 4:24, put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Men and women were both created to reflect God's image. So our traits are different, but every trait reflects who God is. And so we want to go after that. Heavenly Father, I just pray and ask God that we embrace your design. Lord, sometimes we buck at what you have originally laid out. And Lord, we need to recognize what it is and who it is. Lord, help us to get back to operating in this world, Lord, like you intended. Father, I just pray that you would continue to move in the hearts of men. Lord, all that they've heard over these past few weeks. And Lord, I pray this morning that for the women, that you would just move in their hearts, Lord, and help us to come to you with the outages that we have. We just thank you, Lord, for your redeeming. We thank you, Lord, the way that you will always meet us where we're at and that you see our attempts to go towards you and run towards you.